Today's daf is Makot Daf Zayin, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah right on top of the page. Mishnigmar dino uvarach uba lifnei oto beitin. Let's say somebody had already been paskin to be chayav mitah in the beitin, managed to escape from the beitin, and then was recaptured and brought back in front of exactly the same beitin. Ein sotrin et dino. We do not start over from the beginning. And we simply need to carry out the din. But not only that, in any location, this is only in terms of oto beit din. But the truth is that kol makom she'amdu shnayim v'yomru, in any beit din at all, where two people will come along as witnesses and will say, me'idimono b'ish ploni, shenigmar dino b'beit din shel ploni, that we testify, we know absolutely nothing about the events. No idea what this guy did. We've never had anything to do with him. We happened to be present in a Beit Din, such and such a Beit Din, where there were Edim and the Beit Din Paskin, that he was Chayav Mita, but we can't tell you anything about it. That is sufficient. Ploni uploni edav. These were the witnesses. That is sufficient to Hareze Yehare, which is... That is the difference over here is Ein Sotrin et Dino. The mashmaot is that it's only in the same particular Beit Din. Okay, but in another Beit Din, they would have to testify in details. Sanhedrin noheged baretz ubechutz laretz. This seems to be a complete non sequitur. And it seems to belong in Masechet Sanhedrin. But what's fascinating is that it turns out the way the Gemara understands what appears to be a contradiction in the beginning of the Mishnah, in fact, this is extremely pertinent right here, as we'll see. So there is Dinim of Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. And in fact, we would be able to carry out a Chiyuv Mita in Chutz Laretz as well. Now, obviously, in order to have a Sanhedrin, you need to have Mumchim, which is smoothing, and that by definition can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. That's true. But once someone was samuch, he might have moved to Chutz-Laretz. So the Beit Din might now be a Beit Din of mumchim that was gola into Chutz-Laretz. Sanhedrin ha-horeget echad b'shavua nikret chovlanit. If a Beit Din kills once, even every 7 years, that is outrageous. And that would be the equivalent of a damaging, dangerous, Obama-style Sanhedrin. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Omer, Echad l'shivim shana. Now that could be read as even once every 70 years. That would be terrible. Or it could be read as, well, the norm would be once every 7 years. That the Gemara is going to ask. We're not quite sure of his intent. And we leave it up in the air later on. Rabbi Tarf and Rabbi Akiva omrim, ilo ayinu b'sanhedrin. If we would be in the Sanhedrin, lo ner agadam mi'olam, we'd see to it that nobody would ever be killed. And we'll see how they could manage to do that. The Gemara is going to discuss. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, af hein marbim shofchei damim b'Yisrael. In never ever carrying out a din, then the theory of the din becomes irrelevant, and it no longer will have any power to define the structure of morality. Therefore, they're going to end up causing people to stop being sensitive to the very things that din is there to define sensitivity to. Ask the Gemara. Now, it's very strange. The Mishnah begins by saying, Mishnah Gemara Dino, Uba Lifnei Oto Beit Din, Ein Sotrin Et Dino. So, isn't the Mashmaut then only Lifnei Oto Beit Din, who the Ein Sotrin? But if you would ever come in front of another Beit Din, then by definition they would need to start from the beginning, even if they were fully aware of the first Beit Din. I mean, what else is the Mishnah saying? It's all very nice to read the Mishnah as superficially saying as follows. Well, if they come back to the same Beit Din, then you don't need to be able to define that what had happened, because they know what happened. So then Ein Sotrin Et Dino. Now, Shenkin, if they go to another Beit Din, then you would need witnesses to define what happened. But that's not what the Mishnah is saying, because in telling me Ein Sotrin Et Dino, what all you're telling me is, don't think that when there was a gap between the din and the carrying out of the din, that Beit Din would have to rethink it. But another Beit Din would. So then it wouldn't help to have Aiden coming along and telling you. Because otherwise the point isn't Ein Sotrin Et Dino in that Beit Din. Obviously the Beit Din knows what happened. So once you tell me that if you can establish that a din was defined, it can then be carried out, it makes no difference whether it's the same Beit Din or another Beit Din. The question is how to define it with witnesses. You don't need witnesses depending on the case, obviously. So then we have a contradiction. Because what the Mishnah seems to be saying is that the only time that we don't need to start over is if the Dayanim that are going to be carrying out the din are the Dayanim that had been donned in the first place. You're in the same Beit Din. But if you could theoretically have exactly that same case in front of another Beit Din, and how would that be possible? That witnesses come and testify to the fact that it's the same. So then, nonetheless, if they Beit Din Acher, we would be so treated. And yet, a line later, what does it say? A Tani Sefer. You turn right around and you say, actually, it doesn't matter. It could be anywhere. I mean, it's an immediate contradiction. How do you explain that? Omer Abaye lo kasha kan be'eretz Yisrael kan b'chutz la'aretz. Now you see the continuation of the Mishnah. The continuation of the Mishnah focuses on the fact that Sanhedrin is knowing a chutz la'aretz, which is a non sequitur. But it's not, says Abaye. That's the whole point. The Mishnah is actually here telling us what the Braita says openly. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Distai Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Shetah. Depends which direction you run. If you're running away from Eretz Yisrael and you come to Chutz Laaretz to another Beit Din, so then in Sotrinet Dino, you wouldn't be so to the Din. But if you're running from Chutz Laaretz and you come to Eretz Yisrael, this was before they had extradition, so it made sense to come to Eretz Yisrael, you know. So Mechutz Laaretz Laaretz, then Sotrinet Dino. Then in fact, you would have to start over again. Since there's such a schus in Eretz Yisrael, it may well be that the eyes of the Dayanim will be open to something that they can use to actually find a way to be matzo this man's life. So Mamela, the difference between the two cases, you're right. There's a clear-cut contradiction. So Ein Sotrinet Dino is in the direction of Chutz Laaretz. Sotrinet Dino is in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. So even if the same Beit Din then maybe would have come from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, still would have been Sotrinet Dino.
And what's the concept of Sotrinet Eretz Yisrael?
Sotrinet Eretz Yisrael, though the idea is that God opens your eyes to see things. I hear this man is now in a matzah, and the Dayanim are now in a matzah where they can see things differently and appreciate things differently.
So why don't you then see them and not have death penalty outside?
Because you need to live where you are, like everything else in life. There's a remarkable Rambam who says that this Mishnah about any place where they say Ploni or Ploni Yedav is sufficient only refers to Rod Seyav. But any other case, you need to have the actual witnesses coming in front of the Beit Din and not these other people. The makor of the Rambam is very simple. It's a classic Rambam thinking. Remember that we had the sugya about earlier, which the Rambam paskin zalocha, about if the Edim's hands were cut off. Remember, we joked about the way that there's always a way that the mafia can make sure that the guy doesn't get killed by cutting off the hands of the witnesses, because it says yada Edim teyevo. So that if there's no yad, so then you can't carry out the din. But that, when it comes to Ritzicha, in fact, over there we have the additional ribui that he should die, come hell or high water. Anybody should kill, but that's Dafka by Rotzea. Memela says the Rambam, if there's a din of the Yada Edim, then the original Edim have to come in all other cases. It's not about Rotzea. We don't have an equiv of Yada Edim, but anybody could come and just report Ploni or Ploni Edav, because it's not worse than those Edim not having their own Yad. Sanhedrin no eged bein ba'aretz bein lechutz la'aretz. So, how do we know that? I mean, isn't the simple meaning of the pasuk b'sha'arecha? Shoftim v'shotrim b'sha'arecha. You know, where do we get now that includes chutz la'aretz? The Tana Rabbana. V'hayu eile lachem lechukat mishpat l'dorotechem b'chol moshrotechem. Since the pasuk says that wherever you live, all of these shall be a chukat mishpat. It implies that courts, mishpat, will be present throughout your generations in all your locations. L'madnu sh'sanhedrin sh'sanhedrin sh'noeged ba'aretz u'v'chutz la'aretz. So you'll say, so then why mention b'sha'arecha? Im kein ma tamud lomar the din of shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha v'chol sh'arecha. There, indeed, it's coming to tell me a difference. That b'sha'arecha, the b'chol sh'arecha, comes to tell me that b'sha'arecha atam oshiv batei dinim b'chol pelach v'pelach b'chol ir v'ir. That there needs to be a series of batei dinim, so that there would be a beit din in every county besides a local beit din. in every city. But b'chutzlaretz, you don't need a beit din in every city. It's sufficient to have a county court, and you're not mechuyev to be b'chol sharecha. That's the difference. But there still needs to be a opportunity to go to mishpat b'chol moshevotechem. So in b'chutzlaretz, yata moshiv b'chol ir v'ir. Continues the Mishnah, Sanhedrin, Ha'oreget, Echad, B'Shavua, comes along now, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, to say Echad L'Shivim Shana. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean to say, you say once every 7 years? I say if it even kills once every 70 years, it's Nikret Chavlanit. That's one way of reading it. Echad L'Shivim Shana Nikret Chavlanit? Or is he coming to say, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, once every 7 years. I mean, the point is that once every 70 years is a norm, because all that we need to do is establish that the theory of the interlocked system, hierarchy of values, is something that happens. Doesn't matter. So if it happens in the memory of people, once every 70 years, it happens in the memory of people. That memory is sufficient. So if a grandmother will tell over to, oh, I remember someone was once killed in Beit Din. So then the entire thing that he's learning in Cheder and so on is not just a theory. It actually happened. It actually happened. It's sufficient, obviously not for deterrence, as we spoke about in the Siyam. It's not a function of deterrence. That's not the court's issue. It's a function of defining values. But if those values are never expressed, then they're not really values. So maybe that's what he means, that Urach Ara, the norm, would be Achat Hashim Shana. That's what the function of a Sanhedrin is. Teiku. That's really not clear. Right. Okay, Rabbi Tafra, Rabbi Akiva claim that if we were in Beit Din, no one would ever be killed. Lo ne'arag adam mi'olam. We'd always be able to get them into a position where they would not be able to be killed. So, heche havi avde. I mean, how exactly could we make sure that nobody was ever killed? So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Tarvayu. Well, we could say questions that I can't really answer. So we could say, Ra'item trefa harag, shalem harag. Do you know whether the guy that was murdered, I mean, did you conduct a post-mortem to make certain that he was healthy? I mean, maybe the guy had cancer. Maybe his lungs were eaten away. He was going to die anyway. In which case, he wouldn't be chayev. So how do you know that he killed someone that he would be chayev for killing? Did you see? And even if they say, yeah, we did, then we'd say, Amrav Ashi, imtim tzolom shalem avi. Dilamokim sayef nekev avi. How do you know that the guy wasn't stabbed right through a hole that had gone through him from before? Can't be sure now, can you? You didn't check him while he was alive. So how do you know that what you're looking at is the wound that killed him? Maybe that was there before, in which case he was always a treif. So, I mean, as Tosis points out, we are not really chayish necessarily for their knowledge or non-knowledge of what are considered to be bedikot. But if they contradict each other, and what Tosis says, the real meaning is there's enough kind of questions that you can ask them that you're going to catch them in a contradiction. They contradict each other. If they just shut up, then there's nothing you can do. But if they contradict each other somewhere along the line, so then it would be vata. Okay. Says the Gemara, and what? Which that's all very nice. We're talking about a murder. I mean, how about if a guy was sleeping with one of the arayot? What are you going to do then? Abayev ravadam ratavayu. You could ask them, Ra'item kim bikcho bishvofer. What, you actually saw the insertion? What did you see? How do you know these guys were having sex at all? Because they look like they're having sex. We got an optical cable in there. Vrabbanan. So, that's a good question. How do you ever know? What do you mean? They would say, how would you know, really, that you could be b'chai of somebody? Vrabbanan hechi dainus. If they don't hold now of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, how, indeed, would you ever be able to be b'chai of somebody out sleeping with an erva? The Amar Shmuel, the idea over here is that when you're dealing with mina'afim, you're dealing with some sexual event, mi sheyera'u kimina'afim, it's sufficient to look like you are acting in a normal way of having intercourse. That's considered to be intercourse. We don't need to establish the details of events. As long as on a gross level, the event appears to be that event. We don't, but it could be that erachinami, if somebody taines that's not what was going on and so on, then perhaps there would be ways in which we could force the edim into a position. And erachinami, they would, even the Rabbana would agree, we'd have to ask the question.
The same thing with Sayef and
Yeah, but they're already getting into issues of rov. I mean, I saw what I saw. You know, we get into chazaka, that we had a chazaka of chai. Why would I say it was a treif? But, I mean, over here, you didn't even see what you saw. Okay, Tosu says, I mean, I understand why doesn't the Gemara ask about other things? I mean, what would you do about Chilul Shabbos, let's say? How would you get them out of Chilul Shabbos? But it's funny that we only take these things where there's an easy way out, but I mean, there's all kinds of questions, right? Somebody's over there, what are you gonna do? So Tosis comes up with an interesting thing. Is this question of treifa is basically sufficient to destroy all cases of capital crime. Because if you don't know that the guy was not a treifa, then there's no way to kill the Edim. And therefore it's Educhi Atayachol Azima. So the Edim are puzzle. Because had the Edim actually murdered the guy, they wouldn't have been chayiv with a gun. They're not going to be chayiv if they testify that he should be killed, right? So if they don't know that the guy that they're testifying against is a treifa or not, so then they're not kosher witnesses. Okay, so we basically covered all our bases anyway, you know. Hadron Alok Ketzad Edim. Let's see, who's going to give us the Baleen Eder here? Richie, you're the reigning. Okay. Yeah, you got to give us the Fankton, Rich. And then we're up to a new parak.
Oh,
Fankton, you got to give us Fankton. What's the matter with you?
Fankton.
Absolutely, begins. Where'd you grow up? In the Bronx or something?
Right. Oh. Fankton.
Elu Ein Hagolin. Now, we talked about in the previous parak in a case where somebody would say that Me'idim on a Bish Ploni Shul Chayev Ligulot, one of the cases that would not apply the dinim of Edim Zomimim was in the case of Galut. Again, remarkably, and apparently coincidentally, the Masechet follows the structure of Sanhedrin in that coming into the dinim of Makot, we just happen to have left out of Sanhedrin the dinim of Golos, so that makes sense. The first define the secondary order of Ritzicha B'Shogeg, and then to get into Makot. But it also just so happens that one of the four cases in which we need to talk about the Makot of Ahaya in Binakot HaRasha is, in fact, the Din of Galut. So we're going to now, there's two ways of looking at this. Either as a Hemshech of Sanhedrin, which of course was exactly the closing Mishnah in the previous parak, as is usually the case. Closing Mishnah discusses normal Dinim of Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin being Noeg B'chutz La'aretz or not, and the differences, and how often you can be Mekayim the Chiyuv of Misa, which you would have expected to find in Sanhedrin. And remember, we spoke about those who feel that Makot is not really a separate Pesach that's part of Sanhedrin, though the Rambam goes out of his way to say that this is certainly not the case, but here again, it's a very natural conclusion to what it was that we've been doing until now. In Elohein Agolin, Elohein Agolin, Ha'horeg Nefesh Bishkaga. The single case is someone kills Bishkaga. However, you say Elu, is because we have an awful lot of detailed descriptions of precisely the case that the Torah is Mechayev Galuta. And this comes from Diyukim in the words of the Pasuk that stresses all types of interesting things. He can't be a Sonei. It's below Das. It's without Kavanah. It's B'Shogeg. But each and every one of these words seem to be zeroing in on a particular set of cases which is included in the Din of Galut. And therefore, the Gemara basically takes for granted at the beginning of this that you're aware of the fact that the chiyuv of galut is a delicately balanced chiyuv between pure intent and pure ones, where there'd be no way that you can anticipate something. Then you have this gray area where you should have been careful, you should have been very careful, you could have anticipated but normally wouldn't. That's a wide area. Now, the truth is that all legal systems take into consideration degrees. Obviously, you can have murder, you can have manslaughter, and all types of things that are shadings of it that are given definitions, legal definitions, slightly different to different societies, with different levels of anisha that's appropriate to those different levels. So here too, the Torah is very makbid on defining what precisely is not too close. We call it karov lemezi, close to being responsible. That even though legally you're not chayev, but you can't go to galut for that because galut is viewed as an actual kapara. And in order to be suitable for that type of kapara, it needs to be balanced between, right between culpability and complete ones where you're not able to be involved in any way. And remarkably, one of the first and easiest distinctions is that the Torah distinguishes between something that falls and something that is lifted, which is really interesting. So we have two cases. Somebody is lifting a piano on cables from the ground to the fifth story. The cable snaps, somebody's beneath the piano, and the person is killed. That is considered to be potter from galut. If somebody is lowering the piano from the fifth story to the street, then he's chayav. Now, on the surface, it appears to be exactly the same case. And yet, as the Rambam points out, if the entire approach that you're taking is to fight gravity, so what you're focusing on is making sure that that piano doesn't fall and that that piano is coming up. Then the Torah considers it to be closer to ones when something happens and the piano falls. But if what you're trying to do is take advantage of gravity, it's just that you want to lower it slowly, then you're considered to be culpable if it falls quickly. Because what you're being asik in is what's beneath you and what is naturally going to happen. And therefore, in that case, you're in the set of the golim. And this becomes now a klal, the first klal in the Mishnah. So somebody is now being ma'agel b'ma'agela. V'nafla la v'aragatum. So what they used to do is they would plaster their roofs, and those roofs were on an incline in order to allow the rainwater to fall off. So then you would go up to your roof, and you had this trowel tool with a stick, and it would roll going down, and then you would pull it up, and then you would roll the next row, pull it up again. So if you're being ma'agel, meaning you're going down with your trowel, and it falls, or you were lowering, you're lowering a barrel of wine from the roof, and now it falls as you're lowering it, kills somebody beneath it. Or, you're going down a ladder, and you fall off the ladder. In all these cases, are a golah, but on the same case in the opposite direction. You're now lifting your trowel, bringing it up towards the ridge of the roof where you are sitting. And then it falls. Or, you're trying to raise the barrel from the street. Or, you're climbing up a ladder. In all of those cases, remarkably, in what appears to be exactly the same case, it's karov in that case to an ones yibi potter. Zeaklau, the rule, we'll see what the rule is coming to include. If you're on the way down anyway and the gravity continues to act in a way that was somewhat unexpected for you, then it's chayav galut. But if you were not going in the direction of gravity, then you're not golet. Minoha nimile, how in the world do we see that in the psukim? Omar Shmuel de Amakra. Look, why did the Torah say, Vayapel alav vayamut? Because over there, a guy was being osik b'chol even asher yamud b'vlo vayapel alav. What do you have to do with falling? So if you're talking about falling, you're already invoking gravity. So why does it have to be falling? Why could be throwing? So vayapel therefore means ad sheipol derech nefila. It has to be on its way down. Tana Rabbana, we find that the pasuk uses various tones in its words. I guess it talks about bishkaga. What is bishkaga? Bishkaga means, as opposed to mezid. So that's called make nefesh bishkaga. That's the nushama rotseach, make nefesh bishkaga. And then we also have the word bivlidat, which sounds like the same thing. So kol make nefesh bishkaga or bivlidat. Different pasuk. Is there a difference? Well, bivlidat means that you don't have any intent. We'll have to see what does that mean. What's the difference between mezid and mitkavein? So that's prat lemitkavein. Let's start with that mezid. I understand. Obviously, if a guy kills the mezid, so we have a whole set of dinim. He goes to court. We kill him. And so on. I mean, he's a bar ktalahu. Omar Rava, no, you're right. That's a mistake. We can't say prat lemezid. What we have to say is that means prat omer mutar. It means you are a mezid. You wanted to kill the guy, but you never knew that it was usher to kill people like that. So you know, it's ignorance of the law. Amalei Abaye. I mean, Why would we call that nezir? I mean, I omer mutar. If the guy's really ignorant of the law, so then isn't he korov to ones, not korov lemezid? Omar le said, Rava, not true. I say, shani omer ha omer mutar is korov lemezid. The problem of an omer mutar is his similarity to mezid, not a similarity to ones. Okay, then you say bivlida. So it is a problem mitkaven where his intent was to murder. I mean, that's basically the same thing, isn't it? Mitkaven, if he intended to murder, cheetah. Well, that certainly is not included in a set of golin. He's bar ktalahu. He's meant to be killed. Omar Rabba, when it says problem mitkaven, it doesn't mean somebody who was mitkaven to murder. It means he was mitkaven to hit. So he was gonna throw this on an animal. That's not murder. So this is one of those hunting accidents, you know. So the guy looked like a moose. Okay, whoops, the moose turns out to be the next door neighbor.
I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend.
No, that's not the same case, Richard. No, talk about it.
Still, you know.
I mean, I know your plans, but or suppose he was gonna shoot a kuti, ends up shooting a yisrael, or he was gonna kill a fetus that he thought was not gonna survive, a nefa, a rag ben kayama. So those are the cases that we're talking about. Tana Rabbanan. In bepeta. Now another thing that the Torah says is that if something happens peta suddenly, below eva, without hatred. So what do we mean suddenly? In what sense? In bepeta. Well, bepeta would mean prat lekeren zavit. Peta means that it's something that is close to him, sudden. But if a guy is walking along holding a sword in front of him, nobody's in sight, but then he turns the corner suddenly and stabs someone as he turns the corner, you wouldn't exactly call that bepeta, would you? Below eva. Below eva means prat lisone. Which is interesting because, I mean, it says beferish in the pasuk, vuhulo sone lo mitmol shulsham. So we know it's prat lisone. So Mefarshim explained that prat lisone means that even if the edim testify that they don't see any possibility of foreplanning here, and therefore it's irrelevant how he feels about him, the Torah is saying that sone is never included in the dinim of galut at all. Hadafo. Hadafo would mean...
So we suspect that there really was...
It doesn't say why. It just means it's not included in this set of golim.
Kind of
no, there may be...
Sorry,
I stopped something? Did I skip something? No. Shadachaf. What is hadafo? Hadafo means where you were dachafo begufo. This doesn't... I mean, even though we talked before about the barzel or about the Evan... I mean, if you hit him with your body off of the ladder, that's not the same thing. It doesn't have to be necessarily something else. Oh, he shalich alav. Now, this is interesting because he shalich alav could be, we already know that has to be derech nefila, right? So he shalich alav, you would say, well, I mean, is that derech nefila? I mean, we already know that. So the Vishlich Alav comes to tell me Yirida Sheet Sarech Aliyah. So in other words, let's say that in order to get a broader swing, you go down. First you're putting your hand all the way down in order to lift it up and slam it, right? Now on the way down, you lose hold of what it is that you're slamming, the hammer, the knife, as the case may be. Since the intent was to lift. So is that considered to be Yerida or Aliyah? If it adds over here an expansion of the din of Yishlich Alav, must be to tell me that even though the ultimate intent is Aliyah, but you're currently going in the direction of gravity, therefore you're Chai. So that would be an Yerida, which is the Tzorach Aliyah. And below Tzidiyah, now Tzidiyah means, has a double meaning. Tzidiyah means to plan out, to trap, entrapment, to tzad, but it also means tzad. Which, of course, is very related to the idea of trapment. Because when you're bum in hatzad, you come around from the side. And that's the way that you're trapped. But it also means to the side. So that is implying, prat lemitkaven litzad ze, v'chala litzad acher. So there is, if you lose control in a completely different direction, so then that's what it's coming now to exclude. That's asher lo tzidatz. Your kavana was not to get it there at all. Asher lot sida. Now, another explanation would be that you're not throwing it to the side. You're throwing it precisely where you wanted to throw it. Or, in the previous case, Rashi actually learns that's the case of the previous case as well, except you didn't know someone was there. But another meaning was, you're not throwing it to the side, you're throwing it in the right direction, but it's going too far. So you thought you were only going to get it 2 amot, and it ends up going 4 amot. So prat l'mitkaven zork shtayim v'zarak arba, and that now is not included. So that's considered to be karov l'mezid. Vasher yavo et re'eu b'ya'ar, or someone who comes into a forest with his friend. Now, what in the world? Who cares where it is? It's coming to teach me that just like a yar is reshus to the nizik and the mazik, likanes l'sham, it's public property. So memela, both of them have a right to be there, and therefore the only chiyav is where both have a right to be there. Afko reshut l'nizik v'l'mazik likanes l'sham. But if somebody walks into your property without permission, over there, indeed the Torah is not machayev you if an accident happened. You should be chayev golos. Boy mine Rebbe Abo mi Rebbe Yochanan. An interesting question. Because if you think about it, a guy who's climbing a ladder, while he climbs the ladder rungs are going down while he's going up. I mean, this was an old Newton discovery, right? So that means that there's always a Yerida and an Aliyah that's happening simultaneously, because every action has an equal reaction. So if that's the case, why don't we separate out those two things? What would be the din if now the rung of the ladder, the Shliva, is Nishmata Shliva Bitachta Vinaflava Arga? So he's going up, but the rung is going down. So if the rung now, if the rung hits somebody, so do we look at the act of the person in terms of his intent for himself, or is it the actual device that ends up being the killer that we look at? So what would be the din? Ki ay gavna aliyah or yuridai? How do you view that? Amalei said Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Abo, well, that is the question of yuridah l'tzorach aliyah, isn't it? But we just discussed that idea, where the intent is ultimately, I'm doing this in order to gather force for the aliyah. That's true about every interrelationship of gravity. I'm doing this in order to achieve the opposite direction. But you said that that doesn't matter, and that right now it's the direction of the force. The direction of the force is down. The direction of the force is down. Doesn't matter that my intent is to use that down for up. Brilliant. So it boils down to exactly the same thing as in the previous paragraph. Come on, guys. Never a smile. I mean, it's so beautiful to see the clarity of the thought process.
You didn't intend the Yerida or the Rung. You didn't intend the Rung should go down.
And the Rung is even more than the
leather. Now that we're going to distinguish. We're going to distinguish that in a moment. Good point. In other words, the question that's being raised over here is, do we need to grossly detect the forces that are acting on the Rung? Or do we mean just because we know that the forces are there? Because on the surface, there's no movement of the rung. If you're climbing up, we don't see the movement of the rung. We'd have to put an instrument there to be able to detect the bending of the metal that's allowing him to go up. That the Gemara will ask in a moment. Ask the Gemara 8. Zeakla, take a look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol shebederech yiridato gole, shelo bederech yiridato eno gole. So what does it mean when it says shelo bederech yiridato? It's telling you a klal. A klal means I'm expanding the idea that we said a moment ago. What's the expansion? So when you say, if it's not bederech yirida, it's not gola, what does that add? We said that. Latuyimai. Is it not coming to add precisely this case where the actual ladder, the rung may be moving downwards, but you're moving upwards? So my lav latuyikai gavna. Nu, said Rabbi Yochanan. V'latayimai. So I understand, it's all very nice to conveniently focus on the part of the mission and the claw that you like. What about the other part of the claw? Where it says, kol shebederech yirida to. You're chayev. Well, what's that coming to you? How come that doesn't bother you? Okay, so now I will explain the whole thing in terms of what it's coming out to you, okay? It's talking about a case that includes all variations. And we're going to see this case in a moment. 4 different laws about exactly the same case, depending on what stage of the operation the event occurs. And here is the case. The case is classic. A butcher. Okay, now what does a butcher do? The butcher raises his hand. He's got now his butcher knife is going backwards behind his shoulder. He's now lifting it up behind his shoulders and bringing it down on the meat, going all the way down and then flying all the way up and back again, right? So each pula is gathering now the requisite force to be able to go up with a lot of oomph in that up, and then pulling it up from behind with a lot of oomph to go down. So there's four separate stages here. I got to get some exercise. Right? So when you're going down behind you, that is a Yerida Letzorach Aliyah. Okay? When you're going down in front of you, that's a Yerida Letzorach Aliyah. When you're coming up in front of you, that's an Aliyah Letzorach Yerida. Okay? And it's exactly the same thing is true when you're going down behind you. So the Gemara points out that we have a Braita, four Braita, that go out of their way to contradict each other, we often find this, in order to slap you across the face with your need to distinguish at what point this is happening. Is it in the upswing? Is it in the downswing? Is it in the upswing in front of you, the downswing behind you, or the upswing behind you, the downswing in front of you? So we've got four possible cases. Elalatui katsav. Obviously, that case, you also have to agree, is talking about the butcher case. I say this second part of the klal is also coming, latui katsav. Here's the case of the katsav, the tanya. One brayta says that a butcher shayim a katsav. So one brayta, you have a butcher now who's acting as butchers do. Tona choda lefanav chayav lacharav patur. Now one brayta says, if he loses control of a knife and it flies and hits somebody in front of him, then he's chayav. But if he hits somebody behind him, then he's patur. Now there's another brayta that says the exact opposite. No, he'd only be chayav if he hits somebody behind him. But if he hits somebody in front of him, he would be patur. Then there's another brayta that says, Tani Idav, doesn't matter. It's in front of him, behind him, he's always chayav. And then there's another brayta that says, it doesn't matter. Whether it's in front of him or behind him, he's always patur. And so I'll bet you think that these brayta contradict each other, right? Wrong. Velo kasha, there's no contradiction at all. It's very simple. Kan b'yirida shel lefanav v'aliyah shel achorav. So when you're talking about the chiyav lefanav and the p'tur le'achorav, that's talking about on your way down in front of you, but on the upswing when it's coming from behind you. Kan ba'aliyah shel lefanav v'yirida shel achorav. When you say he's p'tur lefanav, that's because he's on the upswing. He's chiyav le'achorav is because now he's on his upswing in front of him. He's always going down when he goes behind him. His arm now starts going down behind him. So then he's chayev on the part behind him. So that makes sense too. Kan be yiridah shel lefanav v'shel acharav. It says you're chayev in both cases. That's talking about on the downswing in front of him and on the downswing behind him. So you'd always be chayev on a downswing. Kan ba'aliyah shel lefanav v'shel acharav. And you're always potter on an upswing. As simple as that. Four cases.
Three positions.
Four positions. Four cases, right. Three positions. This is machlokes tanaim, because, I mean, there's another brayta that says that haya oleb is sulam v'nishmita shliva mitachta. Somebody's going up on a ladder, and the wrong flies out at somebody and kills him. Surprisingly, there's a brayta that says chayav, and there's a brayta that says patur. Now, that certainly seems to be arguing in exactly the question of that we're raising over here. So, my lav, baal kamiflikit. Mar savar, it's considered to be a yirida. And mar savar, it's considered to be an aliyah. And therefore, there seems to be that there really is a machlokas about whether a yirida letzorach aliyah is considered to be chayav or not in a case like this. So, the Gemara love. Kuleyama aliyahi. It may well be. Now, there's something of a confusing issue over here. Because remember when Rabbi Yochanan said nagata in the issue of whether it's aliyah letzorach, that this is considered to be a yirida letzorach aliyah. There is a complication in that. It's not exactly the same case, obviously, correct? Because in the case of the ladder, there's two separate foci. There's the focus of the person on where he's going and the instrument that happens to be used by him in going in that direction. Then that becomes the instrument of the murder. So, I mean, you cannot say that once we've established that Aliyah, a Yerida Letzorach Aliyah is considered to be a Yerida, that necessarily that means that we focus on the instrument instead of the direction that the person himself is focused on, you see. And this accounts for the Tosis's problem. There's a machlokus here about how to understand the following piece. So, when the Gemara is saying over here, my lapa kamiflik, It may well be that what the Gemara is saying is not that there's a machlokus about the etzem question that was raised in the first Braita about Yerida Letzorech Aliyah, but rather there is a machlokus in the Braita about whether Rabbi Yochanan's response to Rabbi Abu was indeed fully consistent with what had been established in that Braita. So as we'll see in a moment, that makes a big difference, because when the Gemara is docha this, it says, look, the Kule Alma Aliyahi, everybody agrees that it is not Yerida, Velokasha, Kan the Nazikin, Kan the Galut. That one is talking about the question of whether you would be responsible if the guy wasn't killed, but he was hurt. Would you be responsible? Of course you'd be responsible. Because when it comes to damages, there's no difference between on the way up and on the way down. The issue is purely the question of negligence in terms of other muad lo'olam, ben shogeg, ben mezid, as the Mishnah said. So you will be chayef. That's not an issue. But when it comes to the question of galut, it's definitely considered to be derech aliyah. So Tosa says, oh, wait a minute. I mean, it's definitely considered to be derech aliyah. So then we have a contradiction to the previous brayta that says yirida l'tzorech aliyah is considered to be yirida. So you see, Tosa does not take into consideration the fact that this is actually one step beyond Rabbi Yochanan is not precisely what the brayta said. It was Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush that this boils down to what the brayta says. But that's not necessarily true. Because remember, we're raising over here the question of the person's focus versus the direction of the instrument, right? Okay, so that's a big nafkamina. So Tosus Lushitato has to explain that what we'd be talking about in this case is, in fact, what is your name again? What Ezra raised was the question of what type of ladder are we talking about. What we're talking about over here, where everybody agrees is an aliyah, is where we do not measure visually the yurida of, in other words, we're talking about a metal ladder, let's say, or a strongly constructed ladder where we would need instrumentation to be able to see the movement of the shliva. Now, the problem with Tosis' approach is that the Gemara hasn't introduced that issue until the following piece of the Ibayit Ema. So you can see why the alternative approach, the Rabbi Yochanan, is not considered to be precisely the equivalent of the previous Braita, makes a lot more sense. The Gemara is not arguing about the very fact of Aliyah Litzar, Yerida Litzarach Aliyah. It's arguing about whether a Sulam represents that case, perhaps. So therefore, all the Gemara is saying is, it may well be that when it comes to the question of the sulam, everybody agrees that that would be considered to be derech aliyah and not derech yirida. And they're only, close the door, Richie! They're only arguing about whether this is a chiyuv in terms of nezikin. That's not an argument. They're talking about different cases. Is it nezikin or is it galut? That's one possibility. Another possibility is that perhaps what we're talking about over here is nothing about the case. Everybody would agree, perhaps, that Ibayit Ema, they're both referring to Galut. Everybody would agree that the case is indeed Aliyah. It's Yerida Letzorech Aliyah. But they're talking about two different cases. One is talking about a loose, not loose, but rather a junky piece of wood that's partially worm-eaten and therefore cannot contain the guy's weight. We see it bending as he steps on it. So how to eat la? The other case talking about that we don't see it bending, in which case it's not considered to be yirida, or it could be, it's both talking about perfectly strong pieces of wood. The question could be also how well it's fitted. In other words, if there's a little bit of movement in the place where you fit the rung, then you'll see the rung being forced down in its hole, even if the wood itself doesn't bend in the middle, the whole thing will sink a bit. When the guy steps on it, so then it's visibly yirida. Masha Einkein, if it fits well, there's no, and it's also strong. So you don't see any bending, and you also don't see any movement. So when we take into consideration all these possibilities here, it could be Ibayit Ema, Hava Hadalo Atliya, Lokash Adami Adek, Vadalo Miadek. One is talking about where there's movement, because there's room in the fitting, and one is talking about where there's no movement and no room in the fitting. Well, of course. If I were you, since you interrupted the sugya, I'd stay away from the ladder. All right, let's do our review here. Mishenigmardino ubarach ubalifnei oto bedin. In sotrin et dino. Mishnik bar dino barach, ubalifne otobe din in sotrina dino. Koma kom, shiamot shnai, jamdu shnai. Viomru me idimano be ishploni, shnigmar dino be betin shaploni. Uploni, uploni, edav, areze yare. Sanhedrin noeget baaretz vachutzelaretz, Sanhedrin aoreget echad beshavua nikret chovlanit. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria omer, echad l'shivim shana. Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbi Akiva omrim, ilu hayinu anachlu besanhedrin lo nerag adam meolam. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, af ein marbim shofchei damim beYisrael. Lifnei oto beitin udein sotrin, no lifnei beitin acher sotrin, Hatani Sefer Koma Kom Shiabdu Shnai Viyomru Meidi Manu Atish Ploni Shnig Mardi Nobe Beit Din Ploni Uploni Uploni Edavar Ezen Eran Om Rabbi Elok Ashe Kan Be'eretz Yisrael Kan Bechutz La'aretz Tatanya Rabbi Yehuda Ben Destoy Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Shetach Borach Me'eretz Lechutz La'aretz Ein Sotrin Etono Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz Sotrin Etino Mepnei Zchuta Shel Eretz Yisrael Sanhedrin noeget minanimili. The Torah Rabbanu v'ahayu eile lachem l'chukat mishpat v'dorotechem l'manu l'sanhedrin shenoeget ba'aretz v'chutz l'aretz. Im kein ma ta'amud lomar b'sharecha? B'sharecha ata moshiv batei dinim b'chol pelech u'pelech u'v'chol ir v'ir. B'chutz l'aretz ata moshiv b'chol pelech u'pelech. Bari ata moshiv b'chol ir v'ir. Sanhedrin noeget echad and then comes along now. Reb Shimon Elazar and he says, Echad l'shivim shana. What does he mean? Echad l'shivim shana, even that is nikret chavlanit? Or do you know the norm, or achare shivim shana, take? Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Rimilo, Ayino, Echi, Avi, Avdi. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Mitavar, Reitim, Trefara, Shalem, Arad. Rabbi Ashi, Imtim, Tzolom, Shalem, Avi. Dimbo, Bumakam, Sayev, Nekev, Avi. And what are you going to do with Boel, Ater, Rabbi, Echi, Avi, Avdi? Rabbi, 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 Reitim, Kimi, Kobish, Roferet. Rabbanan, echi dainu, tishmo, tiamashmo, bimina afim, mi she yera u, kimina afim. Hadron Allah, ketsa da edim. Elohim agolim, aureg nefesh pishkagam, in a case where, haya magil be magil av and afla lavaragato, haya mishal shel bechavit, and afla lavaragato, haya yored besulam, and afla lavaragato, reza gole. אבל אם היה מושך במעגלה ונפלה עליו הרגתו. היה דולה בחבית ונפסק החבל ונפלה עליו הרגתו. היה עולה בסולם ונפל עליו הרגתו. הרי זה אינו גולה. זה הכלל כל שבדרך ירדתו גולה, שלא בדרך ירדתו אינו גולה. מנה נמילי? אומר שמול, דיומר קרוב ויפל עליו ויומד עד שיפל עליו דרך דפילה. Tanu Rabbanu b'shkaga prat lemezid. B'vlidat prat lemezid. Pshita lemezid. Bar k'talahu. Omar Rava ima prat leomer mutar. Omar l'abayas, why do you call it mezid? Mini omer mutar, it's an onus. Omar l'shadi omer omer mutar skrav lemezid. B'vlidat prat lemezid. Mitkaven. Pshita. Minani b'ya bar k'talahu. Omar Rava meaning prat lemezid la'aroga de be'ima. Varagat Adam, or Lakuti, Varagat Israel, Lanefa, Varag Ben Kayoma. Tana Rabbanan im bepeta, prat le Keren Zavid. Beloeva, prat le Sone. Hadafo, shadachafo begufo. Ishlich alav, is lavi yurida shutzarach aliyah. Belo tzidiya, prat le mitkavin le tzadze, vachalo le tzad acher. Vasher lo tzida, prat le mitkavin le zorg shtayim, le zorg arba. Vasher Yavoit Re'eu B'Yar, Ma Yar Rishut Nizik L'Mazik L'Kanes L'Sham. Av Kol Rishut Nizik L'Mazik L'Kanes L'Sham. Boi Minei Rabbi Abo, Mi Rabbi Yochanan, Yaoleh B'Sulam, V'Nishmat HaShliva Mitachtav, V'Nafla, Varga, Mao. Ki Agav Na'aliyah Yirida, Yomel Kvar Agata, B'Yirida Shetzarech Aliyah. Eit Ve'Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shebederech Yiridato Goleh, Shelo Bederech Yiridato, Eino Goleh. Shelo Bederech Yiridato, what do you think that case is? Vati Yimai. Lav Latui, I gam the ladder? No, the timer. Kol Shebederech Yiridato, Latui Yimai. I mean, the only case is Latui Katsav. So, can I mean Latui Katsav? The Tanya. Katsav Shreim Katsav. Stana Kadu Lefanav Chayav, Leacharav Patur. Tan Yidach Leacharav Chayav, Lefanav Patur. Tan Yidach Bein Lefanav, Bein Leacharav Chayav. And in fact, lo kasha. Kan birida shelafanav aliyah shelacharav. Kan baliyah shelafanav birida shelacharav. Kan birida shelafanav vishelacharav. Kan baliyah shelafanav vishelacharav. Let me get a note. Haya ole besulam v'nishpeta shliva mitachtav. Tani chodek haya v'tani rech batura. I would assume b'ok mifthage. Marsav yirida, you marsav aliyah. No. Kuli ama yir aliyah. Lo kasha. Kan l'nezikin, kan l'galut. Iboitema, maybe haval l'galut. Lo kasha. Hada atliya, hada lo atliya. Or, iboitema hava hada lo atliya, v'lo kasha. Hada miyadek, for it has no room to move. Hada lo miyadek. And does have room to move.